You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 121. And it's our first Dream Show of 2012. So I wish you a wonderful, happy and healthy and really interesting 2012. And I hope that during this year, you'll also listen to the other 11 episodes that we'll go through this year. And hey, if you'd like to come on the show and have your dream interpreted for the benefit of everybody listening in, to demonstrate the process, to get some help with your dreams and to share your life experiences with our listeners, please just drop me an email and we'll book you in. Now, today's guest is Gay. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I know nothing about a person's dream until we start recording the show. So you hear it as I hear it. I have just heard it. We have just recorded it. We finished recording it. And here I am putting the beginning of the show on. So I can tell you that, amongst other things, Gay's dream is absolutely perfect for the opening of a new year. You will be so inspired. It is a beautiful story. It's very heartwarming. It's, in Gay's words, it has very devastating aspects and it has very exhilarating aspects. And you'll discover through listening to Gay's dream and her story and the interpretation of the dream and all the other levels that go into it, that Gay has come to a really astounding healing point in her life and is going to move on and do some even more wonderful things. You will absolutely love this episode. Please, after you've listened to it, share it with people that you think will benefit from hearing Gay's story and from hearing her dream. You'll get a lot of dream interpretation tips as well, and mostly you'll just be deeply inspired. So I have to just give the websites before I lead you on to Gay. So here they are, because I would really like you, as well as listening to me, to go to my websites where you can be enriched by a whole load of more information, services, products, books, Kindle books, and generally just find out a lot more about dreams and stuff related to dreams and waking life on the kind of level that we discuss it. So www.dream.net.au for all things dream, and to find out how to contact me or how to have a booking with me for my own particular brand of life coaching or for dream therapy, or how to have a dream interpreted, or go to my blog for the slightly broader, more waking life aspects of the kind of stuff that I do at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or go to our Dream Show podcast blog, which is thedreamshow.tv, or find me on Facebook. But now, sit back, put your feet up, and enjoy Gay's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Gay.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Very well.
And what kind of day have we, what time of day have we got in your area of the world?
Right now, it's 11 p.m., the day to go back to work after Christmas break. And I work in a doctor's office, and everyone was sick for 4 days, so we had them all in today to get them well.
What a big start to the day. Well, your reward is to have your dream interpreted.
I am thrilled.
and I'm very in awe that anybody can be as awake as you are at 11 o'clock at night. My biological clock just is not set that way. but it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon where I am, so all is well. Gay, as usual, I know nothing about your dream, so the floor is yours. Tell me about your dream.
This dream stands out to me over and above most dreams I've had in my life. I don't remember my dreams very much, but this one was crystal clear. It was like I had lived it. And the parts of it that I remember the most are, I was with my family. I was with my daughter, my son, and my younger daughter, and several children. And we were in what appeared to be a museum or a castle. It looked, in my mind, in the dream, we were touring in a museum. and but the room looked like a castle. It was all stone, and there were throws and rugs on the floor. There were torches on the wall, and it was cool and dark. And we were commenting about the way the room felt and what it would be like to have lived like that. And my family was in the room with me, and I just kind of moseyed out of this, I guess you'd call it, if it was a museum, you'd call it like a display area. I kind of moseyed out of there into this, from this dark kind of historical feel into bright, blinding sunlight. And the room that I was in had extremely high walls. They weren't even walls. They were windows. They were glass. And they went up and up and up. And it was like there you could see stairways around there, but it just went up and up. And the light was very, very bright and very, very white. And it was just almost startling. And I remember in the dream kind of blinking my eyes to get used to it after the darkness of that room. And I looked off and I could see two people in and amongst other people, but these two people stood out to me. And it was a son that I had lost contact with in a very sad time of my life, and his daughter, whom I haven't seen for now 7 years. And he was kneeling, and she was standing by him, and she was as I saw her 7 years ago. She was that age. And he said, "Hi, Grandma. Somebody loves you and wants to see you." And she was running toward me, and it was very dream-like. I don't know, that's crazy to say about a dream, but it was. She was in kind of in slow motion. Her hair was flowing back, and all of this bright light was just like radiating off of both of them. And she came running up to me, and I will probably cry at the last year. Mm-hmm. And I knelt down, and she ran into my arms, and she said, "I miss you, Grandma, and I love you." And I said, "I miss you, and I love you." And that was the end of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And waking up to that was like, I can't even tell you. It was so many things. It was devastating. It was exhilarating. I didn't shake that feeling of just almost like I'd lost something. And I got a glimpse of what I'd lost. And for 2 or 3 days, I went to work. I was upset. Everybody, you know, was there going, "What's up?" And it took me several days. And then I guess you'd have to really know the story to understand what happened next. But then I started becoming very peaceful, and like a decision in my mind had been made. And I have, since that point in time then, after the 3 or 4 days of kind of horror, I really have accepted the situation and have moved on and have started to become happy and peaceful again, like in my normal personality.
Mm.
So that was the dream. And without you knowing a lot of stuff about it, I'm real interested to see what your take is on that.
Mm, that's an absolutely amazing dream. How long ago was it you had the dream, Gate? That was 7 years ago, was it?
No. The dream was in June. It was a day before my granddaughter's birthday. Yes.
Okay, a day before her birthday. But you hadn't.
And it's the only time I've dreamed about them in this 5 years of. I'm sorry, I said seven. It's five. This 5 years of estrangement. It's the first time I've dreamed about the situation.
It's an absolutely beautiful dream. I mean, given that I understand the high emotion in the dream and your feelings, as you say, of a mix of devastation and exhilaration, both two ends of the spectrum that you felt in the 2 or 3 days following that is just absolutely phenomenal. But it is an absolutely glorious dream. And especially, as you say, for somebody like yourself that doesn't usually remember your dreams, it would be a standout dream for anybody. But let alone when you don't remember your dreams. And, you know, as you say, without knowing a lot of the background, you have told me a little there. You've told me that you've been estranged from that son and your granddaughter, for 5 years. And that the dream gave you that sense of peace for moving on and making changes in your life. So, you know, you've told me that aspect of it. And to that extent, you naturally picked up the healing elements of this dream and what it offered you. I'm going to just come in at a very strange angle, which is that, as you said, it was 5 years ago. But when you actually told me, we're describing the dream, Gay, you said 7 years ago. So sometimes when we're talking about dreams, our unconscious mind kind of joins in and gives extra information. So I'm going to ask you just two questions about that before going into the dream itself. One is what happened for you 7 years ago, not 5 years ago, but seven, and particularly perhaps related to your son. And then I'm going to ask you if you can remember the age seven for you being particularly significant for any particular reason. So let's start with you when you were seven. Can you remember being seven? Was it a particular standout year for any reason?
I don't remember that at all. No, nothing comes to mind.
Okay.
At that point. But I do know that my granddaughter was seven when this all happened.
Oh, right, okay. That may have been the confusion. So, in fact, 7 years ago, she was born.
Yes.
If we're going back 7 years ago.
When this happened, yeah, she's 12 now. But at that time, yes.
She was seven then.
Yes.
It was 5 years ago, and she was seven. She's 12
she was seven,
now.
Right.
Yes, okay. Right. So we'll come back to that a little bit later. You've got there the, you also said at the beginning of the dream, Gay, that you were with the family. You said my daughter, my son, my younger daughter, and several children. Were the children just dream children, or were they children in your actual family?
Yeah, my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. So they were all known to you?
Yes.
And this son that was in the dream, is he the son that you're talking about, or is he another son?
He's
your other son. So the beginning of the dream was everyone in the family that you were currently connected with. And
right.
And then when you left there, you went and saw the other son. And at the beginning of the dream, you had that sense of there was a family connection and you were really enjoying. You were, in fact, noticing things like, oh, how would it be to live here where it's cool and dark? And all of those things. Can you just give me a few more feelings about what you were feeling in the dream about if you actually lived in that museum / castle with its throws, its rugs, its torches, its cool dark feeling in the dream? What do you think it would have felt like for you to actually live there at that moment? Was this a good thing, a bad thing, or can you add some more feeling for what it would have felt like for you to live there?
This is something that I do a lot. We'll be driving through western Kansas, and I'll say, what would it have been like to have been on a covered wagon, and what would it have been like to have it be 110 degrees and you have long dresses on? And I was in kind of that mindset, like, wonder what I would have dressed like, or what. It was a curiosity thing. I love the period things, and so it was just sort of a normal thought process for me if that had been a real situation.
Right. Okay. So what you're saying is that you as a sort of habit, you enjoy, and I know I do this too. you enjoy the what ifs. What if? What?
Yes.
What if, and generally, you're looking not in today, or what would it be like to live here, or what if I lived there, what if I lived in the mountain, what if I lived in the coast. You generally do what if I lived in the past. What would it have been like? Is that right?
Right.
You're saying.
Right.
That's what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So that's why it felt like a cross between a museum and a castle. A museum you go to kind of look from today's perspective backwards, but when you were veering on it feeling like a castle, you already had that feeling of the dream of, this is me kind of living in the past a bit, you know, this is what it would have been like. Okay,
right,
so you
in
the past. So what you've got in the dream there is the beginning is you're very comfortable with your family and you're doing the what ifs. What if? What would it be like? What if? What if instead of my current situation, things were different? How would I be? How would it be to live? Which is a really wonderful exercise that we should all take part in time to time. And I encourage all our listeners to think about that on any particular day when you're awake. You know, just suddenly say to yourself, change one thing. What would it be like if this wasn't there? What would it be like if I lived here, if I lived in the past, if I lived in the future? Because, it seems to be daydreaming. It seems to be curiosity, but it has a very interesting effect on us if we really deeply meditate on that for a while. It actually changes our relationship to the present a little bit in quite wonderful ways. And that is really what you did in the dream at that part, Gay. You, in the dream, deep where you're in touch with your unconscious mind as well, you did that what if. You moved something, a common question for you in waking life, into your dream. What if things were different? Just what if? And you were looking at the past, and particularly you were looking at that sense of it was comfortable. You know, there were lights, there were torches on the wall, there was softness, there were throws, there were rugs. It felt cool. It felt dark. There was kind of nice feeling, and you had your family around you. So it did have that kind of family connected kind of what if feeling. And what that question did to you when you were asleep, you know, less in contact with your daytime censorship mind, was it actually opened you up to doing the what ifs into the future as well? Because when you did that transition from being in the dark museum castle to suddenly, as you say, moseyed out, which that moseyed out word, it's a bit like curiosity too, isn't it? You know, when we're curious, we go, how does that work? What is that thing? That's like moseying as well. It's got that same kind of feeling. You know, it's not a big directed, oh, now let's be curious. Let's have a think. Curiosity is kind of, it is a little meandering, a moseying is a little meandering. And in that dream, you kind of moseyed out into the complete opposite of the dark past, so to speak. You moved out into a kind of future situation, blinding sunlight, which we'll come back to, but glass, you know, one thing that castles definitely did not have was glass.
Glass,
it was high, there were the stairways, there was the really intense feeling of the light. So you move from darkness into light, and from my feeling of that was from the past into the potential future. So at that point you went, what if here I am in the dream with my family in a lovely family situation, and while I'm asleep, even though I'm surrounded by my family, I'm still remembering that I'm estranged from one son and my granddaughter. And what would it be like if I project into the future and see things differently? That was what you actually did at that point. Now, the blinding sunlight was not just kind of like the opposite to the dark of the past. When you have a really bright light in a dream, it's often because you've suddenly really become aware of something. It's like if you could say your unconscious is the deep dark. Ooh, I don't know what's going on in there. It's a bit dark. I can't see. That's your unconscious. The bright, blinding light of day is when you suddenly become aware, become conscious of something. It's like, wow, I suddenly see the light, you know? But when it's something that you haven't seen for a long time or really have never noticed, the light is so blinding until you get used to it. And when we get used to a bright light, of course, we begin to see more clearly. At first, it can be a bit overwhelming. So there's a sense in the dream, and we're talking about your unconscious mind, Gay, where you suddenly realize that on a family level, and particularly with your son and granddaughter, things could be different in the future, but it's like a blinding white light, almost like spectacular, but also uncomfortable. Well, you know, I'm not sure that things could really be that different. Let me think about this. And the sense of the stairway, you know, there's that sense of steps that lead up and that lead to a different place if you may or may not decide to take them. So you then see, well, where could the future lead me? Where could these steps lead me, possible steps? And that's where you see your son and your granddaughter. Now, I'm just going to pause there because there'll be a lot of people listening in going, oh, why is Jane Teresa talking about the all these people as members of your family? Because usually when we look at a dream, we say, all these people are not who they appear to be. They're all represent aspects of the dreamer. But when you look at your family, I guess, Gay, you're like anybody. You look at this particular son or this particular daughter, and you have your own feelings and understandings about them, so that you might take, say, your daughter and say, oh, my experience of my daughter is she's got this personality, she's got these beliefs, she does this, she does that. And one of her best friends might go, no, she's not like that at all. You know, oh, you don't know her. She's like this, she's like this, she's like this. So when you dream about your daughter, you're dreaming of how you see your daughter. You know, if her friend dreamt of her, she'd be dreaming about how she sees her. And in this kind of way, we're dreaming about ourselves, because we're dreaming not about the daughter, but about our feelings about the daughter.
Right.
But because your dream, Gay, opens with all of your family and then has this wonderful thing at the end with your exhilarating but devastating thing with the other two members of your family, we know that your dream is dealing not actually with your family themselves, but with your feelings about your family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the subtle difference?
That it's exactly right. It's exactly right. And I can make that clear. I can tell you just what you just nailed if you want me to.
Oh, I was going to go on, but you feel free to tell me now, and then I'll add more.
This whole thing was very, very surprising to me, this estrangement. It was totally uncalled for. He's taken it to the nth degree. He has divorced himself of everyone. I can't contact him. He's broken off contact. He won't answer calls. And the one thing that I've had the hardest time in this 4 and 5 years of crying and heartbreak and has been my granddaughter and what to do, because I am not that kind of grandma to just let a kid go. And I would send gifts and I would send cards and I would send things at Christmas and just random times, and things would come back. Checks would never be cashed. I knew she wasn't getting anything. And I had talked to a psychologist who said, don't keep picking up your end of the rope. Just, you know, you don't engage him anymore. Just let it go. And the struggle was not trying to make contact with my granddaughter. And that was the one thing that I just couldn't hardly get past. And her birthday was coming, and it was yet another time for me to be in a stew, wondering what to do, what should I not, should I do it, what, you know. And then I had the dream. And then after 2 or 3 days, the peace of thinking, it's time for me to let go, and because I can't do anything. Mm. I have to wait for him, just like in the dream, to make the move. And so I've just been at peace since then. No holidays or anything like that has brought back that just feeling of hopelessness to me.
Mm. That is absolutely fantastic. So what you were able to do, you know, the psychologist was giving you the best possible advice, but until you took that into your very heart and took it down into your unconscious and lived it out, you couldn't move on.
No.
Yeah.
It seemed impossible.
Yeah, and it would have been impossible, because that's like, you know, it just giving it as a kind of a tip, you know, this is what to do. If it doesn't touch the heart, if you don't take it into the depths of your being and work with it there to release it, it's the same as turning your back on something. It's just like saying, well, I'll draw a line in the sand and I'm going to continue with the rest of my life like this. But it's always there, pulling your heartstrings, pulling your heartstrings, mm-hmm. pulling your heartstrings. You have to heal something to let it go, you know, and as you've discovered beautifully through your dream, it's healing the pain. It's finding a way within yourself, you know, a change of perception within you, which is beautifully what you've described there, realizing through your dream, and your dream was you. Your dream was your deeper, more understanding, wiser part of yourself that could say, it's not about not contacting, it's not about not connecting, but waiting for him to contact you. Whole different thing, whole different shift of mindset that enabled you then to, you know, to move on. And I love the way that our dreams can do this, that they take off our blinkered point of view when we're awake, you know, we're awake and we're conscious and we've got this set of beliefs and this is what we do and this is what we do and this is how we feel. And when you're asleep, that part of your mind, that logical mind is not really accessible, and you can access so much more of yourself that you would normally lock out during the day. And I imagine that during the day, over the last 5 years, it would have been very hard for you to even conjure up, you know, thoughts of your son contacting you, of hugging your daughter, of relating that closely without getting really distressed about it. And you were, in a sense, focusing on what the psychologist said, which was let it go, move on, rather than the opposite, which is embrace it, feel the pain, heal it, let it go. Completely different thing.
It was like I gave myself permission to let it go in that dream.
You did. And you did it by walking. You did it beautifully and well done. You did it by walking into the future. So
from
rather
that,
From the darkness, yeah. So instead of going, and if we're looking symbolically also, we at the beginning of the dream, we go, oh, it's the past, it's the museum, it's the castle, it's the past. Mm-hmm. Now, in our, everybody's, you can't look up a symbol in a dream dictionary and say it's the same for everybody, you know, but there are some general feels for dreams. And quite often when you go back into the past in a dream, like, oh, you're in a museum, a castle, you see a prehistoric monster or whatever, it's usually your own mind's way of going, look, we're talking about a long time ago, you know, and a long time ago for all of us is like when we were very small, you know, mm-hmm. in those prehistoric times when I was a child or a baby, you know, so we go, oh, that's the castle, that's the museum. So for you, that was your past ways of thinking and relating to families was the opening of the dream. And then in order to really heal it, you moved yourself into the future. You were able to see in the dream, ah, but the day will come when, because of my son's own evolution or position, he will come to me. And because I know that that day will come, I can let it go. Whereas if you try to heal that in the present, you know, in the dream, the present reference is, no, that's not how it's working. Can't be done. But by moving in the dream, okay, the past was how things usually work. You know, and on a day-to-day basis, yesterday is the same as yesterday, the next day is the same as that. We operate on the same beliefs about our life, so it's just going to go on and on and on and be all the same. Luckily, we have experiences that change our minds a bit. But what you did was look back and say, yeah, but what if it was different? I can't heal this in the past. I can't heal this in the present because it's too difficult to do. But if I project myself into the future, this kind of glass, this stairways into the future, this brilliant white light, this complete opposite to the past, there I can do magic. There I can see him, the potential of him coming to me. There, because as you said at the beginning of telling me the dream, Gay, you said, I really lived it. In your dream, you think it's real. You think it's happening. It's not an imagining. It's not a visualization. It is actually happening, and it actually happened for you that you hugged your granddaughter and were able to say these things. So because that happened, you're able to let it go.
Yeah.
And
I've never had anything like that happen before, ever.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. And you know, one of the things that we can all learn from your dream is that sense of projecting into the future. How might my future be different? And to be able to get yourself into some state, whether it's a dream state or a related state, where you can actually connect with people you've lost, say what you want to say to people that you've lost, hear what they say back. And whether or not you're actually doing that doesn't matter. You're doing it within yourself. You're able to do that resolution within yourself. And that's what we all need, you know, to let things go.
I think part of it was me, as I've thought about it, you know, over the months, part of it was me saying, releasing any control I thought I had over the situation was me saying, I can't fix this. He has to soften his heart and fix this. I'm absolved of the responsibility of making this different because I have no control.
That's right. Yeah. And
that was huge.
It is huge. I was going to ask you, have you found or noticed, Gay, that approach of I can't control this until something else softens, have you found that since June when you had the dream have you noticed that that's begun to apply to other areas in your life?
Yeah.
Mm. That there's
I'm
been...
with everything, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Because sometimes life challenges us on the deepest, hardest, most heartbreaking point about an issue or about something. And once we can heal that like you've done, it actually makes other things in our lives so much easier. And the moment those shift and change, I know and I hear what you're saying, that now you know it doesn't actually matter whether your son contacts you in 3 minutes' time, in 3 years' time, in 30 years' time. It actually doesn't matter because you've reached a point where you are comfortable with the whole situation, as you say, absolved. But in the meantime, look how everything else is changing in your life. Look how that sense of not necessarily having to control things actually, or things that you have previously sought to control, once you release that, there are actually greater rewards and more. There are actually more what ifs. Oh, what would it be like to do this? What would it be like to do that? Exactly. How would life be?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that when you look back on your childhood, that your upbringing was kind of like that? Was that your upbringing required you to be quite controlled, or to try to make things happen? You know, that you felt that you were the person that needed to do things or decide how they were done.
I was the oldest child, and as I look back now as an adult, kind of a dysfunctional family in a way. And I just kind of made my own life. We had a very small house. I didn't have a bedroom. I slept on the couch. So I just kind of made another family with a girl, another friend of mine, and I was never home very much. And I got out of high school. I got married. And then I'm one of those women, and I don't know if it's pervasive, but I'm one of those people who, I'm a doer for everyone. I do. And I think really subconsciously that so people will love me.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to get over that a little bit as well. And the things that I can take care of are right here in me. And everything else has to take care of itself. I can't fix the world. I can't make people love me. I can only work on me from inside.
That's so true.
And this is the first Christmas in 5 years that I haven't cried through. That I haven't cried through decorating and cooking and because of the missing people.
Yes.
And it's not that I don't miss them. It's just that I've let it go.
Yeah.
Really, truly let it go. And the dream was the moment.
Absolutely fantastic. Isn't it wonderful that you remembered the dream?
It was like remembering what happened to me yesterday in real life.
Mm.
It's still that way. Mm. I can still smell the smoke from the torches. I can feel the heat of the sun. I mean, it's so real.
Mm. When a dream trickles all the senses, you know, it has not only feels more real, but it's often more important to look at that dream, because it really is something that is, you know, it's reflecting something that has really embedded so deeply in your psyche that it triggers all the points and the emotions. But I really love what you described there. And yeah, it is, I think you're right. It is endemic for a large number of, particularly women of our kind of generation, to have, to believe that doing things for people, you know, will be the ultimate way of getting them to love you. The more I do for you, surely, because you didn't do things for me, surely the more I do things for you, the more you love me. And so, you know, what you've shared there for many of our listeners, Gay, will be, you know, really helpful and an inspiration to them to further realize what you said, which is so true, that at the, you know, really all you can do is do for yourself and love for yourself, because the better you become as a person, the more you can inspire, the more people will love you. Not that it matters whether they love you or not, because that doesn't matter.
Right.
But I love that sense there, as you say, you know, you're relating, my question to you was, you know, in your childhood, was there a feeling of needing to control or make things happen? And you've said, yes, that did happen. I tried to do things in order to control people loving me back, and I've learned to let go of that. So there's a sense in the dream at the beginning there too, that family life, because you've got the whole family minus two at the beginning of the dream, family life in my historic past has been about, doing things, keeping things under control, but how can that be changed? You know, a museum, I guess, is a kind of pretty structured place. A museum protects things, you know, protects valuable things. We can usually at a museum only look at things through glass cases. We mustn't touch. They're very valuable, as well as being about the past. But you also felt that the building was a castle, Gay, you know, and a castle is a building that you normally build to protect your family. And to keep out,
fortress.
Yeah, fortress, exactly. So there's that sense too, that a person who would feel that they would need to do things to make people love them, or do things to protect their family or to protect themselves. There's all that feeling of, building a fortress, keeping yourself safe. And in a way, I guess you described that as a child, you made your life outside of the family wherever you could. You built your own fortress where all of that stuff couldn't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And then as life has evolved and gone on, you've still been in that fortress, and suddenly you've woken up to this brilliant bright light, which is, oh, I actually don't need that fortress anymore.
Yep.
You know, and now I can be just like at the end of the dream, at the end of the dream, you're saying in the dream and in waking life, you're saying the day will come when my son softens his heart and comes to me. You know, and that may happen. It may does not happen. It doesn't matter. I know there's nothing I can do until he softens his heart and comes to me. And it is the same in you. And you have recognized that because you have just told us that what you have done is moved your heart and being from a fortress. You've softened your own heart in terms of you said, no, now I know it's about loving me. It's about doing for me. That's softening your own heart. So there's that lovely parallel between what has been happening with the beautiful, wonderful healing that you've done for yourself over your granddaughter and your son, and another parallel where what all of that has done and the dream has done is actually soften your own heart. You thought it couldn't be softened anymore, but it has, in fact, softened more. And these are just, you know, the light is blinding, and you've had 6 months to accustom to this. And in that time, you've noticed that flow on effect, that healing, the gift, almost the gift in that estrangement and the healing has been so huge on so many other levels of your life that it's almost like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not too long before you have contact with your granddaughter.
I hope so. I really hope, but you know, I'm to the point now where it'll happen someday or it won't. I think what I've done is just, I've spoken to myself when I was asleep, and I finally listened to me. I was trying to talk to myself a lot, you know, and then the other voices would come and they would say, no, a good mother, grandmother doesn't do this, a good mother doesn't do this, you know, all the things that society puts on us. And then that we adopt and cover ourselves with. And in the dream, I was free to listen to that voice coming from me,
yes,
saying, no, it's time to stop. You're killing yourself.
Yes.
You're making your family miserable. They're worried about you. Let it go. And I listened to me. It was
you
amazing.
You did. You absolutely did that. And, you know, you must have prepared the way for that yourself. You must have done the work at some deep level, because our dreams do reflect what's been happening for us the 24 to 48 hours before. So I know for you to have had that spectacular dream, that something shifted within you in those 2 days before that made you ready to hear that voice. Because I love what you say there, Gaia, but I've listened to me in the dream. And, you know, prior to that, I listened to these other voices that said a good grandmother doesn't do this, that and the other. And of course, what we do in our dreams all the time is listen to ourselves, but usually we're listening to the darker voices. We are listening. There would have been dreams that, because you don't remember your dreams so well, you wouldn't have remembered. But if you had, there would have been dreams where these other, like your inner critic, would have been speaking to you and you would have been listening to all these voices. So I know that something just shifted for you in that last couple of days before the dream that made you ready to hear this deeper, wiser, healing voice. And what a wonderful thing that you did. And, you know, usually it's a two-step process, usually, which we don't need to do for you. You know, usually there's interpreting the dream, and then there's looking for the extra healing from the dream and applying a dream alchemy. You know, it might be a visualization. It might be an affirmation. It might be artwork. It can be body work. It can be all sorts of things that actually take something from the dream and change it so that it makes you better. You know, it makes waking life that bit better, or it reverses an unconscious belief that's been working against you or whatever. But you did all that in your dream. We don't need to do that. You did it all.
What a dream.
Can you maybe leave us with, you've inspired so many of us just with your story, Gay, but could you maybe off the top of your head leave us with maybe one example of something else in your life since the dream, where that sense of letting go has given you a great reward?
I have. I was raised in a very strict Christian home. Well, my mother was. My dad wasn't so much. And then as I got married, went to a very strict, very restricted, very, I don't even know the word, immobilizing almost. You can't do anything right. The worse you are, the better they liked you. And I finally, after all the years of having that beat into my head and beat into my head, I finally got to the point where I said, you know what? I am going to think for myself. And I'm going to decide what I believe. And I'm going to do that without any fear of going to hell or anything. I am just going to pursue other paths. And I've been doing that. I've been reading and I've been opening my heart and mind to other possibilities, to loving myself, not hating myself, not thinking I'm the worst miserable sinner in the world and I have no power of my own to change that. I've just really risen above that kind of narrow mindset, and it is freeing to me. And this all started with a card I picked up in Morro Bay, California by Mary Lou Balstro that said one day she woke up and decided to love herself more than she ever thought possible. And I picked that card up, and I stood there in that store and just cried. And this is in March, before June, before the June dream. I went on her website. I read everything she had, all of her poems, all of her thoughts, all everything on her cards. And they just resonated with me, and that's where it all started.
That is absolutely beautiful. And so I'm hearing from this that led into the melting, which led into the dream eventually too.
I believe it did. I believe it all opened that closed up part of me. And the loving myself more than I ever thought possible was just, I mean, that's such a simple, simple sentence that's so deeply profound for someone like me, who really never did, who was always thinking I wasn't good enough. And that just freed me. And so I think, yes, the softening, I felt that, and the looking and the searching and the different ways of thinking about yourself and the world, and all brought me to that point and has helped me then move on from that to get to where I am now. And I've got a long way to go and a lot to learn, but I'm not afraid to learn it anymore. I'm not afraid of some dire consequence if I think for myself.
That's fantastic. And you've got that beautiful, as you say there, the opening up from, in the dream symbolism, opening up from the castle and going into the big, lovely, white, almost spiritual space there where you're not afraid. Mm-hmm. To be in contact. It's beautiful. For those listeners that don't know Mary Lou Falstro, I'll just explain a little more. I wrote a blog, and there's a lovely link to Mary Lou's site. And I think I wrote that blog in mid-December. So if you're listening to this at any time, go to my blog at www.janeteresa.com. And either go chronologically and go for the middle of December 2011, or just key in the title. And from memory, the title of that blog was And It Bloomed, .. And It Bloomed. And it's a little blog where I came across Mary Lou and loved her cards too, and asked her if I could feature one of her cards in a blog post and provide a link to everyone that, you know, follows the podcast, follows the blogs, follows my other work, because I'd want you to share that. And Mary Lou was absolutely delighted to provide that card. And as a result of that, I believe, Gay, that's how you found out about me and put your hand up and said, yeah. So
betrayal.
So listen, everybody, if one card from Mary Lou began all of that dominoes with Gay, you might want to have a look at that as well. Gay, thank you so much for a beautiful dream. I love the fact that this dream is kicking off 2012. It's such an uplifting, you know, and if we could wish everybody listening in this This kind of dream, which is a dream which is one that you've all been wanting for a long time, that is deeply healing and that gives you a kind of light that may seem to be blinding at first, but you will become accustomed to, that shifts and changes. And if you can maybe, you know, incubate for a dream like Gaze by going to bed and saying, well, what would it be like if my life was different? What if I projected into the future? What would I like to feel like in the future? Don't think about what house I want to live in, what job I want to have, what anything. Just how do I want to feel in the future? There's one way of many ways of accessing the future. How would I like, I would like my future. In my future, I would like to borrow a leaf from Gaze book, and I would like to love myself more, or I would like to do this, I would like to do that. And take that into your dream and just see what you get. And let me know what you get. Gay, thank you so much for sharing your dream with everybody, and I wish you an absolutely extraordinary 2012, but I know that I don't need to wish that because you've already paved your way.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to see what it brings.
You know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you probably have discovered that when you listen very deeply to someone else's dream, someone else's interpretation, and someone else's story, simply because you become inspired by that, or simply because some aspects of what they've been going through or what has happened for them resonates within something within you, you will find that you often take little bits of their story, little bits of their dream, where it resonates with you, and take it into your own sleep to explore areas of your life that can be benefited in the same way by opening up and moving on. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if many of you listening go on to dream within the next 2 or 3 days of some area of your own life where you're ready to really pay more of your waking life attention to looking at yourself, loving yourself, and doing the things for yourself that ultimately do more for other people than trying to do things for other people do. You know, the more you do for yourself in the kind of levels that we're talking about, in terms of loving yourself, being gentle with yourself, being more relaxed with yourself, being more forgiving with yourself, being softer with yourself, listening to yourself, and also going to those, being brave enough to go to those painful places within yourself that need to be healed, doing all those things make you a better and better person to inspire other people as well. So we're sitting here at the beginning of a new year. Think on that, ponder on it, take it into your sleep, and do that wonderful thing, because it's not only wonderful for other people, it's also extremely wonderful for you. Our next episode, these episodes come out every 4 weeks, will be episode 122 on the 10th of February. So between now and then, I wish you many beautiful dreams. Pass this link on, whichever, wherever you are, if you're on iTunes or in any of our other places, pass the link on to other people that you think will benefit from listening to Gaze Story and the Dream Show in general. And visit the website www.dream.net.au or janetheresa.com to find out more, be inspired more, and, you know, open yourself more to this kind of path during 2012. Many blessings. Speak to you on the 10th of February. This is Jane Theresa Anderson, The Dream Show.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.